is 2D8 Italy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Member Droche. But maybe for Dr. Vessel, you respond. The first question about PNC, I think it's more about the ongoing engagement between ourselves and the department. PNC was established at a certain point for a certain reason. It was a secretariat to something else at one point, which seemed to have ceased to exist. But we still have a structure appearing as PNC within DOC. Now, our engagement last year was in a direction where there was a hesitation by the committee even to approve the allocation forwarded to PNC. Because our understanding was that we don't have PNC as the original understanding of its establishment at that particular time and so on. Now, I think the problem is that it appears again as PNC. I think that's the whole issue around the issue of PNC and so on, because we had some difficulty to understand. But it will seem that we are married to the name PNC. Because if it's a function in the department, which is not necessarily PNC, somewhere, somehow should have changed the name of that function. But you seem to be having PNC continuously going and so on. So maybe I think that's one issue which Member McGarvey has just raised and tried to deal with that, because I was also a little bit concerned about what is happening about the PNC as a matter at DOC.
Thank you, Chairperson. You know, as we all know, the PNC has a particular history, and out of that history developed a particular function within the department, and with staff and with programs and projects, and in particular a function that deals with the information society programs and projects. So that is the function part of the role of the PNC. Of course, we are now in a process to rethink that, and in a process to absorb that function into the operations of the department. And it will, you know, in the reviewed structure, we've proposed that it will be called Information Society and Development Branch to deal with the issues that we've put into the strategic plan, the information society programs and projects. So that is the current status. So the name will change in the near future, or in the next financial year. So it will not hopefully be repeated as the PNC. I don't know whether Mr. Piri is the head of that division has something more to say about it, or even whether the minister will have certain ideas as far as the PNC is concerned. Minister?
Thank you very much, Chair. I think it would be preferable if the President speaks on it, not the Minister. But I think the explanation given so far is reasonably correct, and that is that it is the intention that the structure will be dissolved and absorbed into the department, not in its name, but in its form, in the sense that it seeks to address matters pertaining to the information society. So the plan at the moment, in the way we envisage it migrating into the new structure, is to establish a branch in the department that would focus on the work of the information society. And for all intents and purposes, the major component of the staff of what used to be called the President's National Commission will be absorbed as part of the departmental staff. But this is not a cathartic process because it has been happening in the last couple of years. And despite the fact that the terminology has been there as the PNC, it has not functioned as a presidential national commission in the last couple of years. There has been no, in effect, no president national commission on ICT. That has disappeared many years ago. And in fact, over the last couple of years, the PNC functioned as a branch or as a unit within the DOC, although there was a budgetary stream which came from the budget of the DOC. So operationally and effectively, the PNC functioned as a unit in the department, absorbed into its budget, and functioned within the authority of the department, answerable to the DG and to the minister. And that's how it has been happening in the last 2 years. And I think the desire of the portfolio committee in the past has been that we should find a way to resolve this conundrum, because it just is not neat that you should have a presidential national commission sitting in a department and the matter is not straightened out. So we have taken a decision to straighten it out, and this is the proposal that we will do it in this particular way. But the dissolution of the body has to be by deep proclamation. So we are currently putting up the necessary documentation to the president and are recommending that the PNC be dissolved and reintegrated in this way.
Thank you, Minister. I think a very important issue was raised around, you know, financial shortfalls in the private sector. I think, you know, the DOC is, I think, largely, you know, involved with building this inclusive information society and knowledge-based economy. And world over, I mean, there's just no way that government can deliver on this. And that is why we have a fundamental view in a department on collaboration and partnerships. And I think with a very strong focus on our flagship projects and our key priorities, a very clear strategy, I believe that the private sector and other institutions will come to the party because they know where we're going. And that is important. And I think at this point in time, the response we got from the private sector, from universities, from civil society institutions is very, very positive. And we believe that in terms of our strategy, we can play that leadership role in the country to provide the space for that collaboration. And I think that is the way to go. I mean, there's no way that we can depend on government funding to build a new society. There were also a number of issues raised around our capacity and so on. I think there's always a discussion of a budget and the number of people and growing, you know, the institution. But I think that the DOC must be given the space to expand. I think we have a growing sector out there. It's growing very fast. We have new demands on the Department of Communications. You must also understand that the Department of Communications is a knowledge-intensive department, so we need to have senior staff and also at the right levels to attract the best people for this knowledge-intensive department. So I think after many years, it is time now that we get that space to expand, that we get in the new skills, that we get in new blood, that we can properly respond to the new demands that we're facing and the new challenges that we're facing. Otherwise, we will forever be contained and sit with with skills and staff that cannot really deal with the new demands. So I think after many years, we need that space to expand and to get in people in our department at the right levels. I think as an example of why we need new skills and the space to expand is for the reasons that Ms. Killian also mentioned. You know, our engagement with provinces, our engagement with local authorities. We see that they're doing things on their own. Do we have the right capacity and the skills within DOC to say, but you know, we provide the leadership. We can give them support, the capacity at those different levels. We don't. So we need to have, I mean, those are new demands on our table. I think there's the whole thing around developing strategy and define the functions, but not having the structure. And so now that we know in terms of function where we want to be and where we want to go, we need to have a matching structure. And if there's a gap, we need to fill the gap. Otherwise, we will not be able to respond to the new strategy. And that is what we're doing at the moment, to say, well, we started off with clearly identify functions in terms of our institutional review, and now we need to look at how we design our structure and fill those new positions. So I think there is, and also in terms of like what you've mentioned, the silos, where these silos are operating within the department, and that we're addressing now, as I've indicated, with the review, but also the silos between the different levels of government. And we need to address that, and that is why we also have a new focus on intergovernmental relations. We're actually building a new capacity also in the department so that we can properly facilitate processes nationally. I think the DOC doesn't have provincial concurrency, so we need to build other ways of getting synergy between the different levels of spheres of government. I think the SABC question could be dealt with when the SABC is presenting, but we will also keep it in mind from our side, from DOC side, to put that on the agenda of the South African Broadcasting Corporation. The SOE allocations, I don't know whether we have a slide in that regard. There is already a slide on the screen indicating, and Mr. Sam can just perhaps take us through the slide specifically. Sam?
Thanks, Acting DG. Perhaps maybe we will just take the committee through the allocations for 11-12. Starting with the SABC, the allocation for the SABC for 11-12 is 84 million. For South African Post Office is 180 million. That is mainly for the rollout of post offices in underserved areas. ICASA, 313 million. Centec, 279 for DTT. USASA, 83 million. Channel Africa, that is housed at the SABC, 41 million. And lastly, NEMISA, 34 million. Those are the figures for the 10-11. Going forward, of course, the figures will change, subject to the entities coming forward with additional requests for more money. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Those were the first round of questions.
There was one issue which has been raised. I'm not sure that the minister would attempt to address on that. It has been raised many times that it will seem the attention. And that's what the Honorable Member Killian has raised. Maybe she can repeat that. That we underplay the tension within DOC, within the staff itself. He was saying there are senior people
who report on duty without allocated any work. They just report because they should report on duty, but there is no work which is allocated and so on. But I'm saying you have to talk to these issues, because if you don't clarify them and it go on record as they are, that is the record of parliament, which anyone can read and so on at any time. It's a public record. Now, because if it's true, it means your effort and so on might be undermined by the incapacity, not necessarily because you don't have capacitated people, but your current, maybe for lack of a better word, internal struggles within DOC in terms of the division of the department and so on. I think that's the issue. But so I want you to put the correct perspective, because if you leave it as it is, it might create other impression and other things.
Maybe the comment is telling us that we've got too much capacity. If there are people that are reporting to work with no jobs. No, I actually wanted to come to the question, but from a different angle, because I thought it was a very important issue that you raised, Honorable Tillian, because you raised the question about the correspondence between the kind of structure that we have in the department and the form and function that the department is supposed to execute. And that's quite a critically important issue for us. It's an important question because you will recall somewhere in the presentation we did say that there are six pillars to our approach in our work. And the first of the pillars was the stabilization of public entities, which we are reasonably confident that we've broken the back of the tigers in all of these entities. The second has to deal with this particular question you raised, which is the reconstruction of the departments. And that question is directly relevant to this strategic thrust of how do you reconstruct this department and in what context are you reconstructing it, and what are the contradictions that you are attempting to attend to in building the new structure. Now, there are several things that we are coming out of as far as the Department of Communications is concerned. I think it is legendary, and everybody knows, that the DG, acting DG, is on record having said to Parliament that the department at some stage was a seriously dysfunctional department. And I think what he meant there was that the dysfunctionality had been attributed to a crisis of leadership in the department, both at the political and technical levels, and a crisis of confidence amongst the staff itself. And that's the reality that's on which we have to base the reconstruction strategy. And so it is true that we find a department which has got serious internal stresses, but it is also true that 7 months or 6 months out of having started this new program of work, we are making extremely great progress in rebuilding the kind of esteem and collectivity and commitment from the staff, and increasingly this is getting down to deeper and deeper levels in the organization. We don't think that it's a challenge that we can overcome in 6 months. It's going to take us longer. And we are reasonably confident that we are able to win that battle. But we can only win it if we are driving that program with a unified and collective leadership from the top. And that has been our main focus at the moment, is to cement the leadership at the executive levels, that is the the deputy director general's level and the chief directors, and down to the top management, which includes the director staff. And very soon we will get beyond that. And there are several mechanisms by which we are trying to build this team spirit in the department. Now, we're succeeding, but we're not entirely satisfied with it because it is still plagued by the fact that we have not yet appointed the Director General. And insofar as we have good competencies in an acting position at this level, we are all convinced that when anybody acts, they don't take responsibility. It doesn't matter who it is. But it's just in the nature of acting positions that responsibilities are never taken. So the structure needs to be resolved by finalizing these appointments, which we are well into doing now. We have had these posts advertised. I think we've, on public record, stated there are about 49 applications for the job of the DG. And we've now appointed an agency independent of the department to help us do the finalization and the selection. And we are reasonably confident that by mid-May we should be able to resolve the position of the appointment of the Director General. And it has been our view that once the Director General has been appointed, we will then resolve the positions of all acting DDGs, so that we stabilize that that position. Now, in addition to that, there's been advertisements, I think, for about 34 or 43 posts. And we've had a ton of applications. And I must say that that's been the most positive factor in the matter, that notwithstanding what appeared to be a perception of a crisis and a department that people don't want, when you put out the job applications, you get a lot of very, very competent people applying. So we are quite pleased that the department still appears to be attracting talented people who want to make a home in the department. So we've set up a special process which would help us to fill those vacancies. We don't have a very clear picture yet of how quickly we're going to be able to do it, but we've put in place a fast-tracking process with independent support from outside the department to assist us to get the requisite skills that we need to fill those posts. So we're doing that. But I think the second matter that, aside from the staffing positions, which sets the context for the restructuring, is that I think we have to grasp what is a fundamental shift in our thinking. And that is that we seriously believe that the emphasis now in government should not really be on policy making, but rather on execution and implementation of policy. Now, we've been coming out of a period in which the department styled itself structurally as a policy-making center. And we have got a lot of very good policies on ICTs. But because of the crisis that I've talked about, what has happened is that we have lost the authority as a department, as a policy center. So nobody respects the policy authority of the department. And we are busy reestablishing that. Not overtly, but we have to reestablish that by winning the confidences of the partners that we work with, be it industry, or be it stakeholders, or be it the people who are look to us for guidance, and that is the provincial governments and the local governments. And it then raises the question of whether we can continue to function as a national policy directing department without any presence actively in the provinces. And that's why I think your question is important, because it takes us then into what is going to become the new form of the developmental state as we move forward, and that is, as we move towards a single public service, we're going to have to make sure that the intergovernmental mechanisms that we've put across become more tighter and more coordinated. So it is for that reason that in our new structure, we are proposing that we create a special branch inside the department to focus on intergovernmental work. Because if we allow the process as we are all observing it, where provincial governments and other layers of government start doing their own thing without reference to a policy center, then we will have chaos in the country, as you are having right now. When the self-provisioning regulations were made and companies were given the authority to self-provide, and drive around in your car in some of our metros and see what happens. Every road is being dug up because people are just going around digging the streets and nobody gets permission from anybody. And so you might have one company digging a street to lay a cable today, they'll cover it up, and next week another company will dig the same street to put another cable, because nobody respects the center, nobody respects the policy framework. So until we can bring the acceptance of this authority to the provincial governments through coordinated working together, we are not going to coordinate and lead development in the country on ICTs, and we have to do that. So that's why the structure is very important for us. So we're putting a very strong thrust on, at a senior level, intergovernmental units. So that work is going to become quite a strong feature. Comrade Chair, I don't want to take any more time. Thank you.
No, I've been generous for my time. Honorable Makazi?
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, my apology. To take you back. It's just that you didn't see my hand. Because I wanted to do a follow-up and actually agree with the minister, the answer that she gave, I mean, he gave me on the first question. And I acknowledge that the minister, the way he had answered, that's the intent on the PNC. But my question, Chair, was based on what it has been on the strategic plan of the DOC, Program 6, which I think, Chair, that program, it has been allocated the budget, which I think the DOC, they've requested the budget from Treasury with regard what the department is going to do to deliver on their mandate. And one of the questions, Chair, because I've asked the question that is there, what are the duties of this PNC? You will pardon me, Chair. What are the duties? And who are the commissioners? Because I wanted to know, what are the functions of this? and the budget that is there. Is that budget communicating to what it's being put as the PNC? That was my question. And I acknowledge what the minister has, you know, the answer. That's the intent, which I agree. The way forward, we need to look at this and see how do we resolve. But currently, I am asking what it's there. Thanks.
Thanks, member. I don't see any other hand. Or Killen, Honorable Killen.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Minister, for the very extensive answer. There are some outstanding issues, but I think one can take that up later on. Can I just ask two questions? The one relates to East Killing Program. It's your slide 24. And by the way, it will be appreciated, Chairperson, if we can get a copy of the new presentation. We actually prepared on the presentation that was issued to us before, and the numbering of the pages differed a little.
Which one we prepare it?
It is the one that was distributed in the course of the week.
Oh.
Yeah.
Or is differing with the one which has been presented?
Yeah. It was quite an interesting challenge to jump to the right slide.
Okay. No, I'll give you all the time to jump from one page of the presentation to another presentation page, and that one which is the closing document, which is a strategy, you know. So you can carry on, ma'am.
Thank you. I wanted to, on our page 17 of our document, it will be easier for you to direct, if I direct you to strategic goal 2. That is the issue of the community radio. I was just wondering, if we look at the key targets that you're setting there, which are interesting, and I mean, in principle, there's no problem with them. But I was just wondering, again, are we not perhaps duplicating the role of the NDDA? Or do you dovetail the practical implementation with its MDDA, with training, community workshops, also financial training of community radio stations, etc.? I just want to make sure, because that often happens, and I think it's something that one should just check. If you can just look at that. And then the other issue that I wanted to ask you about is, you have your e-literacy training for 1,100 youth to be implemented. And that is your slide 24. It's ours on our page 19 that we've had. So it differs slightly. Just wanted to have a better understanding. How should youth access the training? Is it going to go through specific foundations? How would they be in line for training? Because it is indicated that you would have e-skills training programs commenced in the course of the year, etc. How is it that youth can access those e-skilling programs? And may I say, it's probably focused more on marginalized communities, because I think that is where the greatest challenge lies. And how do we link this program also to what is happening in schools? Does the department really have an understanding of access to, you know, e-skilling in schools, exposure to computer programs from the young age onwards? And where are the weaknesses within that? How does the department intend to coordinate with the Department of Education? Because I think that is really one of the critical areas that we need to coordinate activities of government between the Department of Communication and the Department of Education to make sure that our young people, wherever they are, have the opportunities. Thank you, Jack. Lastly, just one comment. Just wanted to make the comment about direct job creation. I absolutely concur with the Dr. Vesso. The issue is, however, and I'm sure the minister and Dr. Vesso would agree, and you know, also the rest of the department, this is actually one of the major opportunities that we have as the Department of Communication to really drive job creation through the private sector, but within this industry. So I just wanted to make that comment. Thank you.
You want to add another question on your question? Mr. Kekane, hand is up, but just add the member Marcus, then I'll go to Mr. Kekane.
Okay. I just want to indulge or add to what you have asked, Killian, Honorable Killian. Chair, on the strategic plan of the DOC, 2010-2011, on the intake of the e-skilling, their target, they've said they will have a second intake of 450. That was 2010-11. On the new strategic plan, again, the same intake on training of 450 ICDL learners. And here it's 2011 to 2012. Can I be clarified, Chair? What is exactly happening here?
Honorable Kekan. And
thank you. Chair, I just wanted to get more discussion from the Minister on the issue that part of what they're trying to achieve with the structures is this thing. Indeed, there can't be any success if there's no authority, that there was a breakdown of authority, people not respecting what seniors are doing and so on. We have experienced that, I'm sure, even in education, student and teacher relationship and so on. And those are very important things in a developmental state to address. When we went to KwaZulu-Natal, if you remember, as a province, there was this feeling that the top is not responding to them as a province. So I'm just saying, that issue that was raised before, that your structures must align itself with the functions, the cause, the duties that you need to achieve, get the right structures, is very important, because if you don't do it structurally or according to system, you could fall into the trap of being regarded as being too authoritarian, too dictatorial. So I'm just saying, I think there must be further discussion, because if KwaZulu-Natal, you only have 6% of people who start primary finishing tertiary education, then you can see there's a role to play, because no matter how much they can cry to the government, if they don't skill themselves, they'll remain in poverty. And communication need to be done to enlighten people that you are part of delivery, you are part of solving this problem of, if only 6% finishes tertiary, you're not going to improve your immediate situation. So, Chair, I just wanted to emphasize that while this authority we're dealing with, we should also not fall into the trap of being regarded as too authoritarian, too top-up, too top-down kind of approach. We should do it within democratic systems. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Comrade. You know, because Honorable Killian is not sitting down, so I can see only comrades. So I forgot that we're in Parliament. So you see, you must be here so that I remember that it's not the ANC meeting.
Chairperson, in my party, I'm a comrade.
No, we can extend the comradeship. It's fine. Look, maybe before I give the OC to respond, there are certain issues also which are just, maybe let me ask the question so that you respond once we go to a close. If we finish before, as time goes, I'm told that tea has been served. You see, the problem is that some of us, when we work, we only feel that we are hungry when we finish the work. So other people, they do mind to break and stretch and so on. Maybe the best thing is to allow just a 5 minutes break, people to stretch, because since we started 9:15 or so, I've been sitting down, and those want to grab tea, they will, but then come back so that we continue maybe after 10 minutes or so. So that we don't work according to what some of us we do work, and other things we take into consideration other people's needs. Others, they want to go to a demarcated areas, you know, to do certain things and so on. Thanks very much. Let's just have a break for 10 minutes, then we'll continue.